Welcome to episode 17 of John Wesley's Journal, that remarkable document which documents the conversion and subsequent ministry of a great man of God, John Wesley. And in today's episode, we're going to be considering Wesley's teaching on the doctrine of justification by faith. This is that great central pillar of true Christianity, that we're saved not by works, but by faith alone in Jesus Christ alone. This is that truth that has got a grip on Wesley, and which has, through the power of God in his life, motivated him to go to the ends of the earth, if necessary, to preach the gospel to every creature. Well, we'll start where we finished last time with a comment on these phenomenon which were taking place when Wesley was preaching. People would cry out and they would fall down. Wednesday, the 28th of December, 1739. We preached at Bristol. We reached Bristol. On Friday, many of us joined in prayer for one that was grievously tormented. She raged more and more for about 2 hours, and then our Lord gave her rest. Five were in the same agony in the evening. I ordered them to be removed to the door, that their cries might neither drown my voice nor interrupt the attention of the congregation. But after sermon, they were brought into the room again, where a few of us continued in prayer to God, being determined not to go till we had an answer of peace, till 9 the next morning. Before that time, three of them sang praise to God, and the others were eased, though not set at liberty. Tuesday, December the 4th. I was violently attacked by some who were... That must have been November the previous month. I was violently attacked by some who were exceeding angry at those who cried out so, being sure, they said, it was all a cheat, and that anyone might help crying out if he would. So people were angry at Wesley for the phenomenon that were there. J.B. was one of those who were sure of this. He was sure that it was just theatrics. About 8 the next morning, while he was alone in his chamber at private prayer, so horrible a dread overwhelmed him that he began crying out with all his might. All the family was alarmed. Several of them came running up into his chamber, but he cried out so much the more, till his breath was utterly spent. God then rebuked the adversary, and he is now less wise in his own conceit. Extraordinary. Thursday, the 6th of December, 1739. I left Bristol, and after preaching at Malmesbury and Burford in the way, I preached at Malmesbury in a car park. There weren't car parks in Wesley's day. On Saturday the 8th, came into my old room at Oxford, from which I went to Georgia. That was his previous trip to Georgia, which was a disaster for him. Here, musing on the things that were past and reflecting how many that came after me were preferred before me, I opened my testament on those words, "Oh, may I never let them slip." What shall we say then, that the Gentiles which followed not after righteousness have attained to righteousness? But Israel, which followed after the law of righteousness, hath not attained to the law of righteousness. Wherefore? Because they sought it not by faith, but, as it were, by the works of the law. Thursday, the 13th of December, 1739. I had some hours' conversation with a serious man who offered many considerations to show that there are no unholy men on earth, and that there are no holy men, but that in reality all men are alike, there being no inward difference between them. I was at first in doubt what could lead a man of learning and sense into so wonderful an opinion, but that doubt was soon cleared. He had narrowly observed those whom the world calls good men, and could not but discern that the difference between them and others was merely external. Their tempers, their desires, their springs of action were the same. So that's original sin, isn't it? He clearly saw, although one man was a thief, a common swearer, a drunkard, and another not, although this woman was a liar, a prostitute, a Sabbath breaker, and the other clear of these things, yet they were both lovers of pleasure, lovers of praise, lovers of the present world. He saw self-will as the sole spring of action in both, though exerting itself in different ways, and that the love of God no more filled and ruled the heart of the one than of the other. Hence, therefore, he inferred, well, if these persons are holy, there are none unholy upon earth, seeing thieves and prostitutes have as good a heart as these saints of the world. And whereas some of these said, nay, but we have faith, we believe and rely on Christ, it was easily replied, yea, and such a faith in Christ such a reliance on him to save them in their sins, have 9 in 10 of all the robbers and murderers of whom ye yourselves say, away with them from the earth. If I could just say something about that. Wesley used to say that there are many people who knew Jesus who was somewhere outside of them, but in order to be saved, they need to know the Lord Jesus Christ in their hearts. Do you know him? Have you received him into your heart and into your life? There's a type of Christianity that pays lip service to the Lord Jesus Christ, but the end of it is death. We must know him as our Saviour. I continue, and Wesley is going to continue this argument now about justification by faith alone. In the afternoon, I was informed how many wise and learned men who cannot in terms deny it, because our articles and homilies are not yet repealed, explain justification by faith. They say, one, justification is twofold, the first in this life and the second at the last day. This is error that they're saying here. Two, both these are by faith alone, that is, by the objective faith or by the merits of Christ, which are the object of our faith. And this, they say, is all that St. Paul and the Church mean by we are justified by faith only. But they add, three, we are not justified by subjective faith alone, that is, by the faith which is in us, but works also must be added to this faith as a joint condition, both of the first and second justification. The sense of which hard words is plainly this: God accepts us both here and hereafter only for the sake of what Christ has done and suffered for us. This is the cause of our justification, but the condition thereof is not faith alone, but faith and works together. Now, Wesley is saying he opposes this. They're saying faith and works. A Christian will have works in their life, but those works show their faith, but they don't add to the salvation that they have, and they don't obtain salvation. These are evidently teaching justification by faith and works, and Wesley is about to speak against that. So Wesley says, in flat opposition to this, I cannot but maintain, at least till I have a clearer light, one, that the justification which is spoken of by St. Paul to the Romans and in our articles is not twofold. It is one and no more. It is the present remission of our sins, or our first acceptance with God. Two, it is true that the merits of Christ are the sole cause of this our justification. But it is not true that this is all which St. Paul and our Church mean by our being justified by faith only. Neither is it true that either St. Paul or the Church mean by faith the merits of Christ. But three, by our being justified by faith only, both St. Paul and the Church mean that the condition of our justification is faith alone and not good works, inasmuch as all works done before justification have in them the nature of sin. So again, that great doctrine of the Reformation, that great scriptural doctrine of our salvation, is that we are saved by faith alone, in Jesus Christ alone, and we cannot be saved by our own works, not in the slightest degree. Thursday, January the 3rd, 1740. I left London and the next evening came to Oxford, where I spent the two following days in looking over the letters which I had received for 16 or 18 years past. How few traces of inward religion are here. I found but one among all my correspondents who declared what I well remember at that time, I knew not how to understand, that God had shed abroad his love in his heart and given him the peace that passeth all understanding. But who believed his report? Should I conceal a sad truth or declare it for the profit of others? He was expelled out of his society as a madman, and being disowned by his friends and despised and forsaken of all men, lived obscure and unknown for a few months, and then went to him whom his soul loved. That may well be the lot for any of us in this world, that when we love Jesus, we're expelled, even by those who are religious, from their society.